So Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. I find those words quite hard to read, really, because this is a psalm. I don't think I've ever preached on this psalm before, and I've been thinking about patience recently, because I think I need to. And I read these words, and they are quite hard to read, aren't they? Because I think, well, is that really my experience? Is that what I do? Do I wait patiently for the Lord? But the title for this morning, what we're going to think about, as I've already said, waiting is good for you. It really is. So first thing, why don't we like waiting, or why don't you like waiting? Why don't I like waiting for things? I guess I'm assuming you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you're someone who says, well, actually, I do like waiting for stuff. But probably most of us don't. A lot of it's to do with our culture. So we live in a culture where a whole advertising industry thrives really on saying that we're entitled to certain things. And we don't have to wait for them, and we can get them now. And there's all sorts of ways that can happen. We've been brought up, perhaps, certainly a younger generation, to expect certain things and take certain things for granted. We've lived at a time without conflict in terms of a war in our nation, and that has an impact on some of these things as well. We can always get stuff on credit. If you're somebody that's young, and by young I mean significantly younger than me, under the age of 18, or whatever other life milestones there are, so much stuff that goes on in college, in school, is to even put pressure on you. Well, you don't have to be patient to wait until you're a certain age to do things. You can do stuff underage. And there's just pressure all the time about waiting for things. At one level, why don't we like waiting? Well, sometimes it's just inconvenient, isn't it? We don't like being sat in a traffic jam. Could be doing something far more productive than being sat in a traffic jam. Don't like waiting for a bus. I don't like waiting for a car to be repaired because it's just a waste of time. Don't like waiting for somebody to phone us back or send us an email or a message or just to show up or for something to finish cooking. I mean, they're things that are inconvenient, perhaps, at best or at worst. But actually, there's times when waiting is a lot worse than just inconvenient. It's painful struggle. Maybe you've been in the situation where you've just been waiting for something to heal, or you've been waiting for some medication. You've been waiting for a result. Just waiting for news, waiting for a situation to change. And that can be physical pain. It can be mental pain. And that's not inconvenient. That's pain, and it's a struggle. And in those situations, it's hard to wait, isn't it? But one of the reasons I think we don't like waiting is because waiting can bring with it all kinds of other baggage. Another psalm I've been thinking about recently is Psalm 73. And right at the beginning of that psalm, Asaph says, surely God is good. But then he spends about the next, I think it's 14 verses, talking about, really, I was ready to walk away from the Lord. My feet had almost slipped because I was looking at all of the circumstances of life. This statement, God is good. Well, is he? Why is he not answering my prayer? Why am I having to wait so long for this? Is he really good? We doubt God's goodness. Even doesn't he care in this situation? His waiting can be very, very painful. And yet our psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord. When we think about these words, the reality is that the Lord Jesus Christ waited patiently. I know this psalm was written by David, but ultimately, the author, singer, and the ultimate waiter in this psalm isn't David, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's something to encourage us in our waiting right up front. The Lord Jesus Christ waited for things. That's quite hard to get your head round, isn't it? The fact that the Creator, the Word, the in the beginning Word, waited for things. He was always being pushed. Do this miracle now. Or somebody wanted to make it, they wanted to make him their king now. Well, my time has not yet come. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his life, as he read the Bible as a 12-year-old, and as he continued to study the Bible, and his day drew nearer, he knew where he was heading. As a 12-year-old boy reading and questioning the teachers of the law in the synagogue, and as a 12-year-old boy, he must have dawned on him very largely at that point, well, actually, where am I heading? I'm heading to the cross. But how many more years was it? Waiting patiently to have that looming over like a huge shadow over his life. And we see the impact that had on him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate waiter. And by that, I don't mean somebody who comes and serves us. He is that as well. But he waited. So he sympathizes. He relates. He understands what it is to wait. I was wondering when I was thinking about this in the week. Even now he's waiting. He's waiting to return, isn't he? Waiting for that day when everybody's going to confess him as Lord. Bow the knee before him, and he doesn't know the hour of his return. So our Lord doesn't call us to do something that he knows nothing of. The great waiter enables us to be able to wait patiently. So second thing, how can you wait well? And these points all really merge together. How can you wait well? Well, right at the beginning of the psalm, there's a couple of clues really. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. And he heard my cry. So how can we wait well? Patiently crying. Oh, probably should be patiently crying out. But it probably will involve some crying as well. Patiently crying out. Where is the psalm focused? It's not on himself. He does talk about his situation a little bit, but the focus is on the Lord, God. He's waiting patiently in intense suffering. Verse 2, a horrible pit, miry clay. He's stuck in a situation that he wasn't able to get himself out of. Verse 12, innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. I think, well, what's that got to do with the Lord Jesus? He's sinless. But he was made to be sin for us. He bore our sin upon himself. Talks a bit later on, verse 17. but I am poor and needy. Verse 14, there's people trying to destroy my life. A deep pit of suffering from which there's no obvious escape. It's a grim phrase, but it's very descriptive, isn't it? A horrible pit. Maybe you've said, yeah, I know what it's like. I've been in a horrible pit. And we need help when we're in a horrible pit. And we need help soon. And I waited patiently for the Lord, patiently crying out. It's easy to spiral inwards and become self-absorbed in difficulties, or just getting the outcome that we want becomes our focus and almost like a god. But ultimately that isn't going to satisfy us, because there'll be more pits to come. I'm not trying to depress us all this morning, by the way, it's the reality, isn't it? But often waiting and being forced to wait for something actually exposes our hearts. Because we can get frustrated about having to wait because we're used to things happening according to our plan and our control and to our comfort and meeting our desires. Another thing that sort of popped into my mind when I've been thinking about this week is, and probably some of you will concur with this, growing old is not for the faint-hearted. It's really hard, isn't it? I mean, I'm not even there yet, I don't think, but we need a lifetime of preparation to grow old. Waiting patiently. God isn't in a hurry. A verse that often gets quoted, perhaps sometimes can be quoted unkindly, Romans 8:28, about God working all things together for the good of those who love him. Well, that all things includes interruptions, setbacks, and all the things that make us wait. How can you wait well, patiently crying? Be convinced about the goodness of the Lord. If you find yourself starting to doubt the goodness of God, I'm sort of straying into Psalm 73 again here. So easy to start to redefine the Lord based upon what we're going through, rather than being able to understand what we're going through by knowing who the Lord is and that he is good. This psalmist is absolutely convinced about the goodness of the Lord. Many, O Lord, my God, verse 5, are your wonderful works. Finishes that verse by saying they are more than can be numbered. And that's not a one-off. Verse 10 talks about the Lord's loving kindness and truth. Verse 11 talks about his loving kindness and his truth. Verse 17, the Lord thinks upon me. Again, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and this psalm. This psalm gets quoted in Hebrews 10 of the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 6 to 8 of this psalm. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, a body you have prepared for me. The Lord Jesus Christ saying, here I am, I delight to do your will, O my God. The Lord Jesus waited patiently absolutely convinced of the goodness of God. And yet when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, anticipating the cross, and then when he was experiencing the cross and all of the darkness, what humanly speaking, in terms of what he could touch, feel, see, experience, none of those things said to him that God is good. Everything that was coming at him would have caused him to doubt that. Even things people were shouting at him when he was on the cross, the abuse, the mockery. If you are the Son of God. In other words, you're not, because look at what you're experiencing. And for somebody facing that temptation, like Job, and Job, the book of Job gives us an insight into this. The temptation then is, well, I am the Son of God, is then to question the goodness of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was convinced of the goodness of God. He's the ultimate man of faith as he waits. And he was able to say in the garden, your will be done, just as this psalm said he would. In verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. That's why we've been given the Lord's Supper. And it's an important part of church life, because we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are we doing? Well, part of what we're doing there is we're reminding ourselves of the cost of the love of God for us, his goodness. We see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't doubt it. He gave his Son for us. And a big part of church life is reminding ourselves of the goodness of God. Sharing our testimonies, encouraging one another, giving thanks, praying for one another. So the third thing, and as I said, these all kind of merge into one really. How can waiting be good for us? I've already said something about this, but waiting can expose where we put our trust. And our desire perhaps to be in control ourselves and perhaps think we're some kind of mini God. It grows our faith. It teaches us to not be in a hurry. And that's helpful for when we deal with one another. And when I say deal, that sounds like when we interact and help and support one another. We need patience with one another. The Lord isn't in a hurry. So we shouldn't be in a hurry with other people. We're slow learners. I'm a slow learner. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's a life's work, isn't it? And so we're called to not be in a hurry with other people. As I mentioned with Job earlier, how can waiting be good for us? Well, Job was really being challenged to hold on to the Lord, wait for him, even when it seems that there's nothing worth holding on for. In terms of his concrete experience, day in, day out. Where's your trust? Can you just wait upon the Lord? Waiting is an opportunity to be able to praise him for his goodness by faith and not grumble, even when things are hard, because he's good. And that's a testimony to people. People notice that. We're reading something a few months ago about that, and saying about when we finished the race. And we're in the new heaven and the new earth with all of the Lord's people. There probably will be people there who will say, well, actually, when you went through that situation and you didn't grumble and you were able to wait patiently, you were able to speak about the good God in that situation, that was a tremendous help to me. Or maybe even that was the thing that stirred me to life, made me think for the first time the Lord worked in my heart through that. We don't know who's watching our lives, do we? How can waiting be good for us? Well, sometimes actually getting what we wanted when we wanted it would have been a disaster. Because we weren't ready for it. Or we wanted the wrong thing. We wouldn't have been able to handle it. But often what waiting does and what it should do is it should lift our eyes and hearts to what everything is waiting for. What Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and I will see him. The Lord Jesus Christ did this. We began the service with those words in Hebrews. The joy that was set before him, that future joy of a restored creation and all of his people restored, raised, made perfect, and entered death. We're waiting with a person for a person. And how many times in the Bible do we find the words, how long? So the Lord isn't unrealistic about how we wait patiently. Because even at the end of this psalm, do not delay, oh my God. So there's a tension, isn't there? We're crying out to him earnestly, but waiting upon him. How long, oh Lord? As we close, waiting is good for you. Waiting, actually, in the right way, never disappoints. Unless, of course, we're waiting in the wrong way for the wrong thing. Because ultimately, it's not him we're waiting for. If we're wanting and waiting for something he doesn't want, and our hearts are going after something he doesn't desire, if we see the Lord like some kind of genie, then that is going to disappoint, because that's not who he is. He wants our trust, he wants our hearts, he wants our affection. He's given his. So there's a call there to repent, to trust him by faith. May the Lord teach us to wait patiently like the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you think, well, I should go away and pray, Lord, help me to wait patiently. Well, it's a good thing to pray, but how are we taught to wait patiently? So it's a difficult thing to pray, isn't it? We need to be careful what we pray for. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. We praise God that he always hears the cry of his people in the name of Jesus Christ.